Okay, welcome back everybody for another night of learning. This is Moshe Plotzker. Special thanks to Jake Wyman in Denver, Colorado, and for putting up some shiurim to share enjoyment. I think we're good through Baal Oscha, and God willing, we'll be uploading some additional shiurim from Parsha Shalach very shortly. And a special thanks to Ari Perlman and Sanan. Tonight's shiur is dedicated as a congratulations to my daughter Adina for graduating 8th grade, so mazel tov to Adina. And we hope that we go from chayil to chayil, one grade to the next, God willing, and only good things. And to all the other graduates out there, mazel tov to you as well. Tonight, I just want everyone to know that last night, since the time I hung up the shiur, I began looking at the Ramban on Parsha Shalach and the Ramban's view on the spies and what his thoughts were. And I'd like to share with you my learning that I've been doing during the past 24 hours on the Ramban. So on the first Ramban, which is, you know, it's actually, if you print it out in a small font of like size 10, it takes up two full pages. But I don't know if we're going to get through all of this, but hopefully we'll get through some of it, and I hope that you find it entertaining. The Ramban quotes the first words of Rashi, where Rashi says, "Sam nesachah parshas Meraglim and parshas Miriam," about Shlach Lecha, I'll just say it in English. Rashi says, "I Hashem did not command you to send spies, but if you want," all the people approached Moshe, and Moshe said, "Go ahead." Hashem had already stated that the land is good, quote unquote, "and I will raise you from Mitzrayim to the good land." So since Akash Baruch had already told us that the land is good, but if you want to test the rubber, so to speak, put the rubber to the road, then you can go ahead and do it. So the Ramban asks a few direct questions on the apparent collusion of Moshe and the spies. Number one, it would appear that by Moshe allowing the spies to venture out onto the land, he enabled the people to create the possibility of a damaging report and thereby delay the immediacy of inheriting the land. Number two, if so, according to the Ramban, Moshe was complicit in the sin of the Meraglim by first stating that the land is expanse, and only to follow up with a question, is the land good, is the land bad? Number three, Moshe followed by stating, "See the land and the nations that reside there, whether they are strong or weak, whether they are few in number or many, and whether or not the cities are fortified." Since the spies were thus obligated to address Moshe's questions, what was their sin when they replied the nations that reside there are strong and that the land consumes its inhabitants? And saying anything otherwise would not be a true reflection of what they had witnessed. Number four, in addition, the Pasuk in Devarim states, "Achenu himaso sabavenu lemar, am gadol v'ram mimeno, arim gadolos v'tzuras v'shamayim, v'gam b'nei anakam reinu sham, nashenu v'tapeno yulavaz." This statement is coming from Devarim, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, where in translating, "Our brethren have made our heart to melt, saying the people are greater and taller than we are. The cities are great and fortified up to the heavens. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. These are great giants." So Moshe, so here in Parsha Shalach, in Arab Parsha, the Pasuk is no less terrifying. It says, "Nashena betapeno yulavas," that our children will be taken over. They'll be held captive. So Moshe himself said this thinking and used the language that was filled with greater intensity than that was used by the spies. Because, and later on he says, "Shema Yisrael, Ata over hayom es yardin lavo l'reshes goyim, am gadol v'ram b'nei anakim, asha ato yadata v'ata gadolim v'atzumim mimaka aram gadolos v'tzurim v'ashamayim, shamata mi yisav v'fnei b'nei anak." Moshe Rabbeinu is using language that sounds very, very scary. And so his language is no different. So if Moshe didn't sin when he used these words, how could it be explained that the spies who had expressed similar feelings of anxiety and said similar words were sinning over here? And the last question is, what was the intent of Moshe? This is more like the Ramban is summing up his prior four, but nevertheless he presents it as a fifth question. What was the intent of Moshe when he said, "V'es'am ha'yoshev aleh ha'chazaku ha'rafeh," that translating those words, he says, "and see the land and what it is and the people that dwell there, whether they are strong or weak and whether they are few or whether they are many." When, excuse me, if the land was of poor quality and or the people appeared strong, if this report was unfavorable, what was the intent of Moshe? Was it to set a precedent to return to Mitzrayim? They see something, they don't like it. So now what? They say, well, let's go back to where we know the ground, and we're familiar with Mitzrayim, we've been there for so long. So why would Moshe say these words? So here, now that the Ramban has presented all these questions, he now goes into discussing a little bit more about the things that were going on at the time. So the Jewish people asked questions and acted in a similar way to any other nation that was tasked with conquering a foreign land. First, you send a military reconnaissance team to understand the topography of the land. By the way, these are all my words. I typed all this up. I typed this up today. I was home today, so I was able to help out a little bit in the house. But all this is my words. So just bear with me as we go through this, and hopefully it's clearly understood. When you need to conquer a land, you first send out a military reconnaissance team, which is to spy out the land, to look at the topography, and look at how the roads intersect and the proximity of one town to the next town. So we see this in later conquests, such as the one that was recorded in Sefer Shoftim. In Sefer Shoftim, it's quoted, Hareini na es mavo ha'ir. And this is sourced to Shoftim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches. And the watcher saw a man come forth out of the city, and he said to him, show us, we pray, the entrance into the city, and we will deal kindly with you. So here in Shoftim, when the Jewish people actually had to go into the land, they did nothing to the contrary. Hareini na es mavo ha'ir. Let us know the landscape of the town in order to provide guidance on which town to initially attack and from which side to attack in order to really subdue the enemy and to achieve initial military successes. So this was hinted in the verse later on where it says, Vayeshuvu osanu davar es haderech ashanal haba, that's arim ashanav olayim. And they returned, they told us this is the path that we should go in order that we should be able to conquer this and this land. And this speaks to the need to count initial successes of provincial conquest before conquering the entire land. So this is completely normal behavior. In addition, this is not only an acceptable approach to conquering the land, it is the best method to ensure the success of a military conquest. Moshe himself acted in a similar manner. As the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Moshe l'ragel es Yazar v'yikudeh ben osel. Vayoresh es amori ha-shasham. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself sent out spies to see the land of Yazar, and where the Amori were settled. Yehoshua acted no differently. Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun mirashitim shneimas anashim, shnayim anashim miraglim chayir shloma l'churu es aret ve'asiricho. So Yehoshua did the same thing. He also sent people out. So therefore, it was acceptable and good in the eyes of Moshe to act in this manner. For this type of preparation demonstrates that Moshe and his star Talmud, Yehoshua, when it came to military conquest, they did not rely on miracles, but rather they made a conscious effort to steer their efforts to success. And perhaps this answers the Ramban's first question and the third question. And just to repeat what those two questions were, the first question was, why it would appear that Moshe was allowing the spies to venture into land that enabled the people to create a damaging report and thereby delay the immediacy of inheriting the land. But this was the normal way of approaching difficulties. And the second and the third thing was that Moshe Rabbeinu's conquest by saying, see the land and who resides there, whether they're strong or weak. And since the spies were obligated by Moshe to address these questions, why were they sinning when they said that the land is consuming its inhabitants and the nations that reside there are strong? This is the normal, this is what you expect people to say to you. You expect them to tell you the honest truth because you don't want to walk into something that could be very surprising. So Yehoshua's conquest with regard to the 31 kings, but I was however divinely inspired. So we have to take a step back, the Ramban says. And he notes the fact that Yehoshua's conquest was divinely inspired. It was al pi Hashem. Moshe, too, followed Hashem's instructions. Since the Pasuk says, Shlach lecha anashim v'yasur es eretz Kanan, so that they will know the approach to conquering the land. And he instructs his princes as well. He says, Alu zeh b'negev alisem esahar. Start out by spying out the south of the land, to better acclimate yourself with the inhabitants who are adjacent to where the Jewish people were situated and determine the strength of those cities. Can these cities be easily conquered? Is it necessary to build a bridge or a ladder, explains the Ramban? Is it preferable to attack from the side, to outflank them, questions the Ramban? Alternatively, if the land is strong, then less fortified cities would be selected for initial conquest. So let us not forget and be mindful that Yeshua did not conquer the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. And I want to give you a proof to that, and that's my 17th footnote. It says in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Samach Gimel, 1563, that as for the Yevusites, the inhabitants of Yishalayim, the children of Yehuda, did not drive them out, but the Yevusites dwelt with the children of Yehuda at Yerushalayim until this very day. And how did I know that? That was really a good guess, because I brought Hashem learned Navi with my girls at night, and I was able to recall that, because the Ramban didn't really spell it out. He just said that Yeshua did not conquer the entire land. But anyway, that is the source of it. Moshe understood, and he tried to impart to the Jewish people, that the land was good and expanse when he said, El Eretz Tova Rochava, El Eretz Zavas Chalav Devash, that he hoped that when the spies toured the land, they would realize all of Moshe's vision and then return with a favorable report of the land. And this is the reason, according to Ramban, why Moshe said, Ulekachta Mipri Haaretz, take from the land, so that people should see with their own eyes the majesty at which this land demonstrates through its fruit alone. And it is known that the Mitzriim were not far away from the town of Hebron. The Ramban says it was a distance of only 7 days. And it is improbable to say that people living in Egypt had little knowledge as to the pros and cons of the topography of the land of Canaan. But rather, the intent of Moshe was to delegate the responsibility of military reconnaissance to the spies, explains Ramban, for them to determine the most opportune method of attack, as we had just explained. However, since the Jewish people in Egypt had been subjected to difficult labor, Avodas Perach, the Ramban explains that they did not know, nor did they understand the land. Moshe could sense the beauty of the land, and therefore he sent out spies to tour the land so that they would become excited about their imminent conquest. The Ramban, now, when looking closely at the structure of these sukkim, believes that Moshe was not acting in complete concert with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive, but rather through his own conviction and influenced by the people themselves. However, the reason for the word Shlach Lecha is to impart that Hashem sanctioned the sending of these spies. Ramban explains that Moshe would have been content with sending 2 spies. That was the norm, and that's what was done by Yehoshua's time. However, Hashem instructed the sending of 1 leader from each of the 12 tribes, Al-Pi Hashem. Why those words? In order to impress upon us collective success, that we're responsible for our successes, or a collective consequence of a negative report. And it appears that the people gathered onto Moshe and requested the spies be sent, that this was good in the eyes of Moshe. And though the Torah does not state this, only to be followed by Shlach Lecha, this is a regular instruction from Hashem to Moshe. This was done in order for the people to not only succeed in carrying out the mitzvah, mitzvah is defined in this case as command of Hashem, but to be overjoyed with this directive of scoping out their future home. However, the Jewish people sinned by asking to send men ahead of them. And in this we conclude with the words of the Ramban. Why would this be necessary? Why would it be necessary for the Jewish people to ask Moshe Rabbeinu to send men ahead of them, when they had already witnessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continuous miracle, the 10 Makos, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf, Kabbalah HaTorah? All they had to do was follow this cloud. And this is the cloud that followed them right out of Mitzrayim. It guided them as they sojourned a distance of 11 days, and then they were supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael. Moshe accepted their request, even though he may have considered such a thought completely unnecessary, since after all, Hashem had already conveyed to Moshe that the land of Israel is good. Hashem later told Shmuel the same thing. And translated, this is my footnote 21, that it says in Perek, in Shmuel Aleph, Perek S, Pasuk Zion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, and I should not be king over them. And this, my friends, is the crux of the matter. If this was a divine request, then those that who exact the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be met with difficulty. These were, after all, princes, and instead of responding favorably, answered, devoid of all the generosity that had been previously bestowed. They finished their lives
of wickedness. And for this, we conclude the shir. We have to remember that this is probably the most, in conclusion, my own conclusion, my own words, as you have just heard. This is one of the most fateful expeditions in Jewish history, and it teaches us that we have to be gomel, we have to be thankful for all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, whether they were able to accept them as good, even though they may appear to be contrary to good, or whether they are in fact good and we just simply forget to say thank you. It's important to always recognize the good and the bounty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, kol man dav rachmana v'tav of it. As the Gemara says, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, he does for our own good. And it's our responsibility to see that good, and God willing, we shall only have Suras Tovos and Shem Vitam and everything that follows with the word Tov. This is Mordechai Plaska wishing you a Atlacha. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Aryeh. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. Please join us tomorrow night. We'll try to continue this discussion to Kli Yakar and later on in the Parsha.